The Lord may help me and I should attention to the Gospel as recorded by Luke, chapter 12 and verse 32. Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We notice that what Luke records are the words and works of our Lord Jesus Christ, as set before us in this portion of the Word of God that I have read to you this evening, and that on this occasion, as on many other occasions, though the Lord spoke in the hearing of the multitudes that had gathered, the words were especially directed to those whom he describes as his own disciples. As we read in that opening verse, that in the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, and this here of our Lord addressing in the hearing of the multitude, his own immediate disciples, we find mentioned a numbers of times in the record that is given us in the Gospels of the words and the work, the gracious ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ when he was here upon earth. And let us not forget that those that were included amongst his disciples was not only the immediate 12 that he had called particularly to follow him, but there were a number of others also that accompanied him in his, but during his time of his ministry here upon earth. We are informed that there were a number of women that accompanied him and ministered unto him of their substance. And even following the resurrection and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ into heaven, the disciples were gathered together in that upper room a bit just shortly before the day of Pentecost. We are told the number of those that were gathered there were 120. The point I'm just making, that even as the Lord addresses thus his immediate followers in the words of our text as a little flock, yes, even it was so in those days, there was that the Lord's people were but a remnant, and as it has been with respect to the church of Jesus Christ or down the generations subsequently, it is a remnant according to the election of grace. And yet we notice the very reality of this, though as it concerns the number of the Lord's people, that in its manifest evidence here upon earth, even amongst the nations of the earth and the vast multitudes that dwell upon this planet, it is a remnant according to the election of grace. And yet we're given that very insight, the glorious reality of this, of the redeemed as gathered there, as they will surely at last be gathered before the throne of God on high, as a number which no man can number, out of every kindred, tribe and tongue from under heaven, and every one of them the subjects of sovereign saving grace, and of that wherein all abroad, and what a mercy is to know some of the blessed reality of it for ourselves, all abroad indeed to ascribe salvation unto our God and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. Ah, do we know what it is that, through that same sovereign almighty grace, to be brought thus, not only to receive, but to believe in him, whom God has set forth as his salvation, is Jesus Christ precious to us? Are our ears been open to hear what the Lord will say unto us? For undoubtedly, as the Lord speaks here to his disciples on this occasion, so he speaks also still in and through his own word. And surely as we gather for the worship of his name, we come once more around his word. Should not we come with that expectation? And I trust that prayerful concern likewise with us. Oh, that the Lord would thus speak to us, that we might hear even afresh this night, hear his voice, as he speaks here to his disciples, words of most important and gracious instruction for them, and also words of blessed encouragement and consolation. Look at what I've read to you from this chapter already this evening. Are there not words of most gracious and important instruction as it concerns the living family of God, directed as it is to the various situations, not only was with his disciples then, but in the succeeding generations with regard to his one and his true church? And not only, as I say, words of instruction, but also words of gracious encouragement and consolation. And surely are they not found in this verse that I have read by way of a text? Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The first thought I would bring before you, respect to what we find in this verse here, is what is the emphasis upon this, and not only in this verse, but again and again in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ as he speaks to his own disciples. And I say again that what was spoken to them as that which has its gracious application still to the living family of God, he, as he reminds them and us here in this verse, of the very reality of that relationship to the one and the only true God. He says, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. At this relationship, and it is a blessed relationship, as it concerns the true church, the living family of God, that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is the God and Father of each and every one of his own. You know, I feel that this is so often not merely, I believe, overlooked, but indeed neglected as well, the reality of this relationship, and also regard to the practical application of it unto the Lord's people, individually and personally, as through grace of believers. I feel there has been, even amongst us as churches, a shying away from addressing our God as our Father which is in heaven. Now I know that many use that very expression lightly, but although others may abuse it, let us not, friends, deny it as a blessed portion and privilege of the believer through grace. See how our Lord Jesus encourages his disciples, his followers, with regard to the reality of this relationship. again and again in this chapter. As I say, the ministry of our Lord upon earth, he reminds them of their Father in heaven. Oh, is there not encouragement and consolation here for the tried and the exercised, the needy of the living family of God, that indeed in every trial, in every situation, every time of need, we're encouraged here to look up unto him as our Father in heaven, as and how it expresses as well the very reality of both the love and the care, surely, of our Heavenly Father, as indeed the Lord tells his disciples here, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? Not one of them is forgotten before God. He says, even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows. And with regard as he addresses at those situations in the lives of his people, and how we find ourselves so often involved with this, and that is the over anxiety and care, even with regard to the needful and necessary things in life. What does the Lord remind us of here? He does not direct us to be indifferent to the same, but he reminds us, friends, reminds us particularly of this, that even all that concerns the believer with regard to the needful and necessary things in this life, that we are both dependent upon our God, our Father in heaven, and what's more, he most surely will and does supply the needs of his people. Why, he tells us that your heavenly Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. And can we begin to even think that the love of God, the Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God and Father of each and every one that through grace is brought thus to believe in Jesus Christ, that his love to them is in word and in tongue only, and not in deed and in truth. Oh, how we are encouraged here, both in every, in all that concerns the living family of God, to look up unto him. The sweet testimony of this, that our Heavenly Father knoweth what things we have need of before we ask. And again, with regard to the reality of this relationship, the Apostle testifies of this. It is that which the Lord, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit with regard to it. He says, because ye are sons, he has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Blessed witness of the Holy Spirit is that. Yes, it is as one in one of our hymns expresses it this, my God, my Father, blissful name, oh, may I call thee mine, may I with sweet assurance claim a portion so divine. Well, friend, be not afraid with respect to lay, as it were, to lay claim to the blessedness of that relationship. For surely as a sinner you have been brought that blessed teaching of the Holy Spirit to flee unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the only refuge of your soul. What does the Lord Jesus himself say? See what he spoke to Mary Magdalene that very morning that he rose from the dead. Remember, she was the first to whom the Lord spoke following his resurrection from the dead. And he gave her a message which was to be delivered not merely to his immediate disciples, But I believe it embraces the whole of Walt described thus, as those whom he owns as brethren. Is not a testimony in the word to this, of our Lord himself declaring, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. And remember, friends, he's not ashamed to call them brethren. He says to Mary Magdalene, Go and take to my brethren. I ascend unto my God and your God, unto my Father and your Father. So, as our Lord Jesus here blessedly testifies, even afresh unto his own, the blessed reality of it still, he says, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you of the kingdom. Just one further thought upon this, regard to this relationship. Ah, friends, remember, it is that which arises from the sovereign will and good pleasure of our God, even from that, those divine appointments and provision, even from before the foundation of the world. Wherein our God, our triune God, has both loved and chosen and indeed given thus he is loved and chosen in that covenant, ordered in all things and sure, to our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Oh, the divine appointments there with regard to all that pertains to the glory of God in the redemption and salvation of each and every one of his own. It is again, as one of our hymn writers puts it, God did love them in his Son long before the world began. They the proof of this receive when in Jesus they believe. And yes, it is of his grace from beginning to end. Well, see what the Lord has here to say. Yes, he's speaking to his own. And what a mercy, friends, is this. The Lord not only knows all about each and every one of his own, he knows just where they are. He knows also those things that trouble and distress them. There may be, well, those things that we've come here tonight that trouble and distress. And surely, is there not the least of them, of that which arises, not only from difficulties that we meet with from without, but oh, from what we find still of the very working of sin, of the corruption of our own fallen nature. How very real is the spiritual conflict that the child of God is continually involved in. The flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh, the contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. We know truly the plague of our own heart. Oh, are they not? That wherein is occasion, those very fears that do so often beset us. Notice here again how the Lord so graciously, and oh, how gracious is our God and Saviour. Yes, is testified in his word that he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He's able to succour them that are tempted. And see how again and again, in the very ministry of our Lord, oh, his tender compassion as manifest it even unto his own, as he speaks here, not only as I said to his disciples, but oh, may these words come afresh to your soul and mind this evening. He says, fear not. You know, we not cause again and again to be thankful unto our God for the fear nots that are set found throughout, sprinkled were throughout the word of our God. You know, the Lord would never speak a fear not if there was not the reason, a need for the same. Yes, he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. He is well aware of those things that trouble and distress, even the souls of his living family. Our Lord is not indifferent to these things, far from it. What is the very purpose of his word? And as he comes to us in his word, as he does here, oh, is it not to deliver his people, indeed, to manifest his kindness and his care, to give them, as it were, yet again, that reassurance of the constancy of his faithfulness and of his love? You know, what poor creatures indeed we are, how so often forgetful, even of all, not only that the Lord has said, but even of what he has done for us. And do not we find ourselves, we're brought into fresh troubles and straits, that are so prone even still to the very working of that unbelief that is rooted as it is in our fallen nature? And where should we be if the Lord was not pleased as he is? And not only pleased, but delights, thus as he comes here in his word to bear witness and testimony, as I say, to the constancy of his love and of his mercy. Oh, to his tribe then, to his exercise, to his needy ones, he says, fear not. These friends are not empty words, far from it. Not just some advice the Lord is passing on. No, that where the word of a king is, let us make no mistake, there is power, there's gracious efficacy in the words of our Lord and Saviour. When he speaks of fear not, he both means that, he both means it, and he will most surely impart that which will and does bring encouragement and consolation to the tried and exercised souls of his people. And is this not these words here full of consolation likewise? Fear not, he says, little flock. You know what a term we might put at the book of endearment is this, a little flock, as our Lord describes that, is that describes it were his people. Oh, friends, it opens up to us surely very, very real and precious things. Yes, though a little flock, and how as regard to the child of God, both personally and even amongst the company of the Lord's people collectively, how often not only fearful they are, but often discouraged and disheartened by reason of the way, oppressed from without and from within, by the working of sin in one form or another, and are so often in a sense feeling isolated, and yet the Lord addresses them here as a little flock. As I say, it opens up to us surely the precious truth of this. Yes, though a little flock, yet, friends, the Lord's flock, that is, they are those whom he owns as those whom his Father hath given him, as those that are precious to him, whom he hath loved, whom he hath, not only hath loved, but doth love, and has laid down his life for them. Oh, it also directs us to the glorious truth, as the Lord, as the great and the good shepherd of his people. But does not a little flock imply, surely, for the very welfare of that flock, that there is one that cares for them. And the very purpose of the shepherd is to care for the flock, to provide for it, to lead it. Indeed, the whole responsibility for the flock devolves upon the shepherd, for their whole welfare is in his hand. How much gloriously so is that as it concerns our Lord Jesus Christ as the great and the good shepherd, that the whole, all the welfare for time and eternity of all that are his, the gift of his Father, as called by his grace, why, the whole welfare is in his hand. He is saying then to his people here, tried exercise they may be, fear not, little flock, the whole welfare of the souls of his people, but for time and eternity, and in his hand, is not forgotten. He never can be neglectful of them. Oh, see what divine provision is made, as we attest the testimony is given us in this verse. Little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. As I've just noticed a few things with regard to that relationship already, let's go on to notice what is expressed here. The good pleasure of our God. It is your Father's good pleasure. That is, here is that which he delights in. How little, friends, we consider this wondrous fact as we ought, that in the Lord's manifesting of his love and mercy unto his own, to them, yes, as needy sinners, as wholly undeserving sinners, for the very aspect of the solemn fact and reality that we are sinners, why, there is nothing we can ever look forward to as coming unto us upon any ground, supposedly, of our deserving. No, all the goings forth of the Lord, the manifestation of his mercy towards this poor sinner, is that which is never, friends, founded upon anything that is in the sinner of themselves, either as it in any way to induce the Lord to be favourable to them. You know, the very concept of mercy is this, is that of favour shown to the undeserving. And oh, if there is one thing that we are taught by that blessed ministry of the Holy Spirit, it is this, our whole undeserving. Indeed, how spiritually destitute we are of all and any good, and are wholly, friends, dependent upon the mercy of God. If indeed, we are in any ever to be the recipient of the blessings of that salvation that the gospel makes known. Well, what is brought before us here is this. It is that which the Lord delights in. It is his pleasure to do it. I say, our little friends, we comprehend the wonder and reality of this as we ought. We so often taken up, and in one sense, not unjustly so, with what we are and where we are. Oh, how it seems to us, how ever can the Lord look favourably upon us? And our unbelieving heart, left to ourselves, and Satan with his implications as well. Oh, how the suggestions so often that trouble us are found in this. How can we ever expect the Lord to be favourable to us, that even if in the past we've known some of his gracious mercy towards us, yet being what we are and where we are, how can we expect the continuance of it? Ah, for our poor and our returns to him, to say the least. Oh, friend, remember this, the blessed testimony in the Word of God. The Lord's favour towards a poor sinner is not founded upon what he finds in that sinner that is in any way supposedly deserving. It's founded upon his sovereign will and good pleasure. And of that it manifests as it is in all that the Lord Jesus is and all that he hath done. Remember the word that was heard, even which God the Father spake from the very time of the baptism of our Lord Jesus by John in Jordan. Repeated also that what the disciples heard on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him, and all the good pleasure of God, in his good will manifesting his mercy to a sinner, is upon this ground. What a foundation here is laid, respect to the gracious reality of it. Is founded upon not what the sinner has done or can do, but what the Lord Jesus has done and accomplished himself in all that he is, to the praise of the glory of his great and holy name. Yes, the very acceptance of the sinner as called by divine grace, as that they are found in Christ Jesus the Lord. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Notice here the precious truth of this also. He says to give you. Nothing here, friends, of worth or merit or something earned by us. No, every favour of God, every grace, every favour comes to us through Jesus' blood. It is the gift of God, the very blessings of pardon, peace and eternal life. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What is blessedly opened up to us in this wondrous gift here, the gift of the kingdom. It embraces, friends, the very reality of this, the kingdom of his grace here, and of his glory hereafter. And those two can never be separated. No, where his grace is real and manifest here, glory is surely what it will issue in. The Lord God will give grace and glory, is the testimony of his word. And how glorious is that grace of our God, in his mercy and favour made known to a poor sinner. And oh, what blessed expectation there for them. He will, it's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Peter well expresses it in his first epistle. And we find that both Paul also join in. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, but kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. Oh, what an expectation is there, sure to every believer through divine grace, is founded upon not the worth or merit of the child of God or themselves, for they have none, but upon the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's good pleasure to bestow these things, and that ever to the praise of the glory of his grace and holy name. May we know ever for ourselves that witness of the Holy Spirit with our spirit of the gracious reality of these things as sealed unto us to the praise of the glory of his great and holy name. But I'll leave the remarks there. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.